Sunday Meditation, December 5th, 1999. Question today concerns communication. We would wonder, or hope the quote could give us some information that would describe the qualities or components of clear communication, and maybe point out some of the areas that it's easy to trip over for miscommunication. What is said is not always heard or interpreted in the way that it was hoped. So we're wondering what folks could tell us about the qualities of clear communication, the pitfalls of poor communication, and what we could focus on. And would there be any nonverbal ways of communicating that would enhance our communication? Anything that we could employ that would help out in our communication?
We are those of the principle known to you as God. Greetings in the love and the light of the one infinite Creator in whose service we are. It is our distinct pleasure and blessing to be able to share your meditation this day and to be called to your circle that we may offer our poor thoughts and opinions concerning clear communication. This is a subject as interesting to us as to you, since our form of service to others at this time is this speaking with words through channels such as this one. The substantial and sometimes grave difficulties using your words certainly heightens the difficulties inherent in any communication. For words are as slippery as eels. And yet that is the medium of communication. And limited though it is, it must suffice for those in third density. May we say that we sympathize with each of you who attempts to express clearly thoughts and clusters of concepts within having to do with emotion and feeling. It is in no wise an easy thing to be perfectly clear. Let us look at the roots of communication. For it is from the root that the plant grows, and much can be understood by gazing at energy in its beginning state. Each of you is a complex of vibrations. The Creator itself is a complex of vibrations. The universe, as far as we know, is a complex of vibrations. Or more specifically, of fields of energy with vibrational characteristics which interact with each other. Therefore, each of you as a being communicates by your very vibration your identity. Those not within the veil of forgetting, that is, those not incarnate in third density, find this information of vibration helpful. And much is communicated from person to person. As the two entities feel their vibratory complexes beginning to harmonize and intermingle. Also, beyond the limits of the veil of forgetting, the communication most usually would not take place by using words, but rather by offering concept complexes or balls of thought, we might call them, which are offered from one to another in a whole fashion, so that the other may herself draw out the threads of communication that were offered there and see the entirely three-dimensional nature of even a single seed thought. So the first thing that you communicate as an entity is your vibration. And from it, people will take much. They will form an attitude towards you dependent upon how that vibration that is they and that vibration that is you are harmonizing. Neither you nor they may be aware that this subtle body work is going on. But bodies themselves are aware of these vibrational characteristics, and perhaps you have had the experience of cottoning to someone and not particularly liking someone else from the very instant of meeting. Often the communication of vibration has done its work before a word is spoken. And certainly once an entity who wishes to communicate clearly grasps this vibrational nature of identity in a metaphysical sense, the entity has become wise enough to work on or tune that vibrational nature of self, that it may become more like the vibration of the Creator. For each of you has as the basic vibration the vibration of the Creator. And each of you has found ways to distort those perfectly harmonized vibrations in such and such a way, making the individual being of yourself a one of a kind. For no one distorts that original thought the same way as you. By taking thought, however, a seeker may indeed lessen the distortion of the vibration from the original thought. And this is work well worth doing. As we said in your density, it is necessary, for the most part, to use words in order to express opinion and fact. Your peoples have great numbers of words, many languages from which to choose. And each entity comes into her existence bombarded from the beginning by words, words, words. The process of maturation of the young ones of your species is a process of learning the words, learning the phrases, learning the behaviors, and then endlessly combining those learnings in ways that are taught as appropriate. And so each flower of self grows to bloom, grows to maturity, coming through the schooling process that teaches more and more words, more and more ways to use words. And also, that process teaches ways to think about the self, ways to think about others. So that by the time a young child is grown to adulthood, she has an enormous quantity of information, some of which is words and the definitions of words, and ways in which to use words, but a great deal of which is judgment or fear-based. For the culture in which you live teaches you to estimate the worth of an entity to whom you are going to communicate by. And from the results of that judgment, to slant your communication in such a way as will, you feel, maximize the clarity. For the most part, this process of learning produces fairly clear communication. When do difficulties arise? You may look for difficulties to arise when an entity is seen to be or assumed to be something, some nature on the surface that in fact the entity is not. For them, the carefully pointed communication is misaimed. When we speak to you through these instruments, we play an endless and fascinating game wherein we assess the harmonics of each of those within the circle. We listen to the, shall we say, the sound of the hunger or the desire. Or perhaps we might say the color of that desire. And then we orient and slant our message, which is always the same message, in order to best serve the harmonics and the substantial nature of the group that we feel kinship with and are meditating with. Each time even the same people meet as a circle, there are subtle differences in the inner harmonics of the group. And each time we assess anew before we begin to speak, for we would not wish to waste this opportunity to share our thoughts with you clearly. Earlier conversation before this channel communication talked about the way people do not listen to each other, but rather each have things they wish to say to the other. And this is, of course, a very common way in which clear communication is sabotaged. If you become aware of a situation in which your words are not being heard, then it is that you may ask yourself whether you wish to be heard or whether you wish to allow the other self to express that which that self wishes to express and assume a role of simply listening. In many instances, the appropriate response, we would say, metaphysically speaking, is simply to abandon the desire to be heard and become a sounding board that can hear what an other self is attempting to say. This yielding up of the inner agenda and the thing to say is a mark of spiritual maturity. It is an action very difficult to complete, for there is within each self a deep well of desire to be heard by the self and to be heard by those other selves that have meaning for the self. And yet many times the straightest and shortest distance to clear communication is to become silent, to release the desire to be heard, and to accept temporarily a role of purely listening. may we say that when this decision is made, it is a decision that places the self in a separated stance with regard to the other self. Consequently, when relationships are close, in families or in communities, it is not a wise choice to become the pure listener. For the harmonics within a family or within a spiritual community especially depend upon all of those involved being able not only to speak but also to listen. Thusly, if some give up that desire to speak that seems selfish and become pure listeners, they have robbed the collective harmonized group of those things which they alone could conceive of, think through, and express. Thusly, we encourage each to see that it is a mark of respect for the other self to continue to attempt not only to listen, but also to be heard. Perhaps the next most usual or common way in which communications go awry is that situation in which the self does not want to speak what is actually true. This can be as innocent a situation as one's mother saying to one, "How do I look in this hat?" If mother looks perfectly terrible in that hat, if that hat is an outrage and an eyesore, yet still, a husband or a son is likely to say, "Oh, mother, you look wonderful in that hat." This is not clear communication. This is, however, loving communication. And we do not say that this is wrong, for there are many kinds of truth. And the truth that is being expressed by the compliment, while untrue about the hat, is certainly true about the regard and that the family members feel for another family member. The desire in this circumstance is not then to express truth, but to express love. And we feel that has its own kind of truth to it. However, there are many times when that which should be expressed, if truth were told, is that which the other does not want to hear. The word no, when permission is asked to do something. The words "I don't know," when someone wishes you to have all the answers. These things are difficult to say. These things are even difficult to say to the self. And yet it does remarkably improve communication if the self does not edit to remove negative responses. Rather, we would suggest that when a situation arises where the self becomes aware that negative seeming truth must be told, that there is a calm and quiet peace within. Perhaps even a small prayer may be uttered within, tuning the self toward the light, hoping that within that additional light there will be found ways to tell the truth that are softer and yet still clear than the abrupt "I don't know" or "the answer is no." When the person facing this situation can realize the degree of fear that is distorting the challenge at hand, then it is that that entity becomes more and more skillful at looking straight at the fear involved, in taking that fear into the heart and forgiving the self for being fearful. This work upon the self over a period of time begins to build up for the self the concept of that self as being flexible, able to learn new ways, unafraid to speak regardless of the consequences. It is as if you take a comb and comb through the difficulties and brambles that seem to be surrounding communication with this other self, combing away the tightness of spirit, combing away the fear of ridicule, combing away the fear of making a mistake, combing away all the fear-based limitations that hedge you about as a communicator, until all that is left in your Blu-ray energy field is an honest and open desire to give and receive information and love. Remember that communication itself is vibration. It has its own energy center, that Blu-ray chakra in the throat. Now, communication may come from any of the centers within your physical and finer bodies. When you experience substantial difficulty in communication, know immediately that you are not in Blu-ray. And take the time in your mind to contemplate the conversation that was not clear. Looking for the signature of the energy center that is blocked, overstimulated, or in some way distorted. Often, you will find an orange ray blockage when the conversation is between two people and about something that is between those two people. In this situation, you are literally looking in a mirror. And that which you think that the other has said is a reflection of that which you have said. This instrument is perusing a book at this time about the living memory process. And throughout the book, the author keeps bringing up the qualities of interaction between two things. This author calling these two things tuning fork A and tuning fork B, or Albert and Betty. But let us say that you are Albert and the other is Betty. That which you say to the other self has a certain kind of energy. That energy moves to Betty, to tuning fork B, and is taken in by tuning fork B in a way that you could not predict, but that is purely the choice of tuning fork B. Then tuning fork Betty B responds to you, and energy and information comes back to you, altered by the other. And as you and Betty converse, you are creating an entire energy system that is strictly between the two of you, that has energy and life and memory. In any conversation, you are creating energy, life, and memory. And you are watching something that is living develop. Consequently, one way to powerfully aid this process is to do some version of that which the one known as Ken Kies has suggested in several of his books. And that is to use the phrase, I am creating, when you are speaking to another and there seems to be a major difficulty in understanding each other. If someone says, you hate me, to you, that is a clear communication of what that person thinks. But it is not particularly easy to respond to. If someone says, I feel, I am creating that you hate me, then it is that the other can say, I am creating that I do not feel that I hate you, but I do hear that you are feeling that I hate you. So we must now find out why it is that you feel this. Any method that allows each person to take responsibility for that which he is hearing will improve communication in difficult situations. The deepest aid to communication is character. If an entity has the humility and the patience to work with another entity to achieve clear communication. Nothing will keep that entity from achieving clear communication. But it is to the humble only that this becomes true. Your yellow ray world, this world of Earth and the human experience, is absolutely dependent upon communication. It is attempting to learn the lessons of love for individuals and for groups. So much about communication at the level at which you are now enjoying experience has the agenda of drawing groups together as well as entities together. There is an evolutionary drive towards harmonization of vibrations. And if you examine the kind of language that nations use with other nations, you will see that despite many fears, despite many reservations, despite many warring, hostile vibrations, groups of people can come to agreements in clear communication. And each of you knows from personal experience that clear communication from person to person is possible. Therefore, let your heart never be faint when you discover that you are unable to communicate. Then is the time to listen patiently, to ask humbly those questions that you have upon your mind, and therefore to gather the information that you may need in order to grasp what someone is attempting to tell you. And when you are the one speaking and you find your words are falling upon deaf ears, then it is that you may call upon your humility and call upon your patience. And release for the moment that need to communicate in order that you may provide the service of understanding that which the other has to say to you. Once this has been done, you may then reassess the possibility of communicating that which you needed to. We show this instrument a beautiful flowing river. A river of golden, rolling waters, bubbling and springing and singing. We show this instrument that those who would communicate must be as fish within that water, must feel that life-giving, unifying water between the self and all other selves. See the self and all other selves as united within that golden stream that is flowing and bubbling at a very brisk rate and a very decided direction. It does no good to attempt to stop the water. It does not help to remove the self from the flow of the everyday. Rather, the good of it is always in realizing the praise and the thanksgiving for belonging in that water of life, for being in the flow of incarnation, and for having the opportunity to share this environment with others, also breathing the water and living in the flow. Perhaps the most helpful thing to remember about communication is that you are all one. You are all going through the same experience. You are intimate, intimate friend. This is the truth beyond the surface, behind the masks of personality and individuality. Above all things, keep that faith that each other self is as you are, no better and no worse. See that equality of self to self always, disregarding status and the details of wealth and position. Be heart to heart. Insofar as you can with each other self. And that attitude of love will greatly help the process of clear communication. Know that each of you has gifts. Some of you have Blu-ray gifts of communication. Some of you have gifts elsewhere. It helps to know the self, to have confidence in the self. And so we encourage that within each. More and more, as you take responsibility for yourself, as you bring your energy centers to a real balance,
as you bring your energy centers to a real balance, you will become more and more skilled at feeling the point at which the communication has bogged down. Where is the energy that is tangled? Is it in the orange rag of personal communication? Or is it in yellow ray of communicators working with institutions like marriage, work, and groups of all kinds? But above all, know yourself to be a child of the one infinite creator. Rest in that identity. Rest in that love. And let that love feed your heart, your faith, and your will, so that you may once again give a gladsome smile and try again to say things clear. And it's done. We would transfer this contact to the one known as Jim. We thank this instrument and leave it in love and in light. We are others of a pool.
I am Quo, and greet each again in love and in light through this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to offer ourselves to additional queries which those present may have for us. May we ask if there is another query at this time?
Yes, I have a couple questions. I've been reading some material that talk of the guardian races and the Royal Confederacy. And a question I had on that is there any other material, reading or otherwise, that is available to us on the Law of One?
I am Quo, and am aware of your query, however. We find that there are many authors who, throughout the written history of this planet, have spoken of this law. Many poets and many musicians speak of the unity of all things. We are aware that you are intending to inquire about entities who are consciously writing of this law, or who have been able to make contact with entities such as ourselves who may speak of this law. And again, there are many. Beginning with the text that is known among your peoples as the Holy Bible, Therefore, there are some instances within this work in which the concepts of the law of one and some of the distortions of the law of one are spoken of. There are entities who have, from the ancient times, spoken of this law in an oral tradition. The so-called Brotherhood of the Seventh Rays is one such a group that spoke concerning this law. Within your own time frame, there has been much information channeled through the one known as Edgar Cayce, in which the Law of One was revealed in some detail. Other entities, such as the one known as a Brother Philip, have also shared information regarding this law. Is there a further query, my brother?
Yes. I guess a week ago, I'd had some problems with my contacts and my eyes, and I've been unable to wear my contacts for better seeing. And I've really been thinking all week what possible issue may be coming up as a result. Is there something I'm not seeing, or my mind has gone all sorts of different directions, and maybe you could help shed some light on that area.
We are those of and are aware of your query, my brother. Without moving too far toward the precipice of infringement upon free will, we may suggest that you may fruitfully look into the area of the Christmas season and some of the concerns, shall we say, that have been a part of your history that revolve about this season, so that the sight is less than clear and is somewhat irritated when the, shall we say, sore subjects are approached. Is there another query, my brother?
Last time we spoke, I was asking about the DNA activation recoding, and you mentioned that, without getting the areas that I've not discovered, that it would be an infringement on my free will. And I thought a lot about it, and I guess I'm not getting to an understanding of why it would be or how it could be, and maybe you could elaborate.
I am Paul, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. This particular area of inquiry is one which may offer a fruitful avenue of exploration to you. We are not desirous of influencing your choices to the degree that we would answer in great detail or even much detail at all in this area, for we would prefer that you be able to make these choices for yourself. If you have a more specific query in this area to offer to us that is the result of your own consideration, we would be more happy to speak to that more specific query rather than being asked by you to look into this general area and to elicit from it for you that which is of importance. Is there another query, my brother?
Okay, I guess maybe to take it a little further, in these readings I've been reading this past week, there was mentioning on how the earth at this time, what means of increasing this activation that will come up over the next, I guess, 17 years particularly, the next 12 to 17 years, that will be available to all. I had a dream recently that but I've been up to 4.4, which one of the things mentioned was for the ascension for most of the people on this planet need to reach a level of 4.5. And I guess I'm trying to get a better understanding of what that means.
I am Kwong, and believe that we grasped your query. Please query further if we are incorrect. There are various points of harmony, shall we say, betwixt the energy centers of an individual such as yourself and the planetary entity that is the sphere upon which you now dwell. As the planetary entity moves through its process of evolution, it, as do each of those entities such as yourself which live upon it, opens various doors, shall we say, certain tones or themes are made available so that those entities such as yourself which are in the planet's care are able to take advantage of these doors, these tones, these reaches of possibility that allow each entity upon the planet to harmonize its own seeking with the planetary evolution. Thus, the interrelationship of this planetary entity and those upon it is that which can be utilized to enhance one's process of becoming aware of the nature of the self, of the creation, and of the opening of the heart of the self to the acceptance of all that is. Is there another query, my brother?
Do you have any suggestions or exercises or anything of that nature that would be of benefit?
I am aware of your query, my brother, and to this query we would respond by suggesting that it is well to take a portion of each day and to reserve it for the meditation so that the events of the day may be reviewed in a brief manner in which time there is the feeling again of those efforts to communicate, to open the heart, to understand, to be more aware of the effect that one's being has upon those about one. In short, this is an exercise in the increasing sensitivity of an entity to its own evolutionary process. The time spent in meditation reviewing the events that have left their mark upon the mind and upon the heart is a time during which that which has been learned can be seated more firmly within the self, and that which awaits the learning can begin to be revealed to the conscious mind. Is there another clear mind?
That's all I have for now. Thank you.
I am, well, and we thank you, my brother. Is there another clear at this time?
I've got one from myself and one from someone who has written one in. For myself, I'd like to ask, I've noticed this whole year and kind of marveled at it, my eagerness and my focus has been very enhanced and intensified on working on the handle of the wanderer. And I know it must be somewhat out of balance, or I certainly can see that it could be. I was wondering if you could comment on this almost compulsion that I have to keep working as fast as I can on the book. If there is anything that I could skillfully do to bring more into balance the work. What I'm especially concerned about, of course, is in any way that my desire, my eagerness to do the book would in some way hurt its purity of love, a love that I truly have, and that I feel that the book truly does hold.
I am quote, and we are aware of your concern. The project of the writing of this book may be likened unto the preparation for the running of the race. The runner has trained well, has trained long, and now awaits the starter's gun. The pulse increases, the adrenaline is released, and the mind is focused in a single fashion upon the running of the race. That there should be some increase in the level of anxiety before such a race, we correct this instrument, before the running of such a race, or the writing of such a book, is understandable, for there is the desire to accomplish each well. There is also the need to give over the project, shall we say, to those hands which are greater than your own, to the heart which is larger than your own. And though the one known as Romy has a large heart and great hands, we speak of the one creator which is able to move through channels such as your own in a more balanced fashion when the dedication to a certain outcome is released enough that one can move with the possibilities, the difficulties, the frustrations, and the, shall we say, gremlins, as we have heard them called, in as easy a fashion as one can move with the work moving smoothly. Thus, one sees the one creator moving in a rhythmic sense, so that that which seems to be a difficulty in the short run may seem either insignificant or an unseen ally in the longer run. For the quality of understanding is not a portion of this third density experience, and much which occurs within your daily round of activities, even to the smallest of details, has a beneficial purpose which will not be understood in the moment of its occurrence, if ever. However, there is a purpose to even the smallest of experiences, and the one creator may utilize each experience for the accomplishment of a larger purpose or plan. Is there a further query?
Yes, the rest of the question about me concerns a difference that I've noticed in the last year concerning my sleeping habits. Since I've begun this generation of work on the book, I find myself dropping off to sleep when I don't intend to, morning, noon, night. Is there something about this project that is calling this response forth in me, and is it benign? If it is, I'll just let it be what it is.
I am and am aware of your query, my sister. The wear and tear of such a project has its toll. The sleeping is appropriate when one is weary.
That's all it is, and I'm happy. Okay, thanks. Now, this lady that wrote in is a lady named Patricia Kumbo. She lives in Brooklyn, New York, and she has a metaphysical type television show that goes out to about 1 million people in the New York City area. She and I have been writing for some time. Recently, she sent me a transcript of an exchange between her and an entity that she calls Andiamo that she met through her Ouija board. She's been talking with Andiamo on the Ouija board for about 15 years. This entity from what I have read of the exchanges relates to Patricia in the same way a personal guide would. I have seen nothing except a benign influence in that relationship. She asked if you would comment on her and Andiamo and the relationship that she had. She didn't point a question at all, just wanted your comments.
I am Qual, and am aware of your query, my sister. We look at this entity, the one known as Patricia Kumbo, and the one known as Andiamo, who is working with the entity known as Patricia, in order that there might be some guidance made available from sources that are, as you have surmised, benign and helpful. for the one known as Fikisha. This relationship is one which has been established as a kind of a rotating honor and duty, so that as one entity is within the incarnation, the other remains exterior to it and serves as a guide to the one moving through the veil of forgetting. This relationship is old in terms of this cycle of experience, having begun early within the cycle at a time when both were incarnate and shared a relationship which was that of what you would call the husband and the wife. The offspring of this mating were not just the physical, the children, that is the usual produce of such relationships, but were also concepts of the unity of all things and the creative power of love, which each wished to share with others upon this planetary sphere, and which each continues to attempt to share with those of this population. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And I know
Patricia will do. I am, well, and we are most grateful to you as well, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
I have a question, Cole, to follow up on the concept of a two entities, one in incarnation, one out of the incarnation. How does a concept of such a guide compare to a guidance provided to one by its own higher self?
I am quote and am aware of your query, my brother. In most instances, the type of relationship would be nearly identical. However, those guides which are, shall we say, related to the higher self in the role of the male, the female, and the androgynous guide, the more a personal guide may be more imminent, or shall we say, accessible, so that there may, we correct this instant, so that there might be a more, shall we say, practical line of communication opened, so words and concepts, feelings and tones may be transmitted upon a regular basis. Thus the personal guide, which is an entity much like the one being guided, however, having remained between incarnations in what you would call the time-space portion of this planetary vibration, then is able to make a reliable contact in some fashion with the entity entering the incarnation for the purpose of enhancing a personal evolution in the day-to-day activities. Is there a further query, my brother?
The question I'm trying to ask. Give me a second here. So what you're saying is that in the standard of two entities, one in and one out of incarnation, the there is a more reliable chance of establishing a type of communication that will touch upon the conscious mind of the entity in the incarnation, thereby enabling some flow of information between them, as opposed to the higher self, which always communicates through the deeper mind, and therefore it's more in form of concepts that do not relate to the logic conscious mind as well.
I am Quo, and we are grateful for your elucidation of our attempt to speak to your query. We feel that you have done a better job than we, and we thank you. Is there another query?
No, not a question, but on a comment rather, that when it sounds like music to my ears when you try to inject some humor into the conversations that we have here, which oftentimes touch on topics that are feel serious and deep, and perhaps they are, but if you have more of it, just keep it coming.
I have a question. We also appreciate humor, for the sense of proportion is that which provides the better view to the restricted mind, and we appreciate your comments as well, my brother. Is there a final query at this time? I am quiet, since we have exhausted the queries for this session of working, we would again take the opportunity to thank each present for inviting us to join your circle of seeking this day. We are always filled with joy at this invitation and appreciate greatly the ability to speak with each. We remind each that we are not great authorities and do not wish any to take all of what we say as being the truth. Use your own powers of discrimination to choose that which has meaning and value for you, leaving all else behind. We are known to you as those of Quo, and we would take our leave of this instrument and this group at this time, leaving each as always in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, Adonai. Internet.